Stay tuned for Bob Inyart Live, but first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Inyart with our Denver Bible Church update. Let me give you a figure of speech out of the Bible. When you're buried in the earth, when you go to the earth, when after you die, you're buried, you put into the grave, you go into the lowest parts of the earth. The Hebrews, they had a figure of speech where the mother's womb was also referred to as the lowest parts of the earth because you return from where you came. And it's just a figure of speech. Like, we have strange figures of speech. Like, we might say that Howard Dean is two fries short of a happy meal. And we know what that means, but in 2,000 years, who would know what that means? Howard Dean is two fries short of a happy meal. Does that mean he was on a low-carb diet? Or what? Well, let me tell you what Job said in the oldest book in the Bible. After so many things, terrible things happened to Job, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there." And he was saying once he died, naked he came from his mother's womb, and in the midst of everything so terrible happening to him, he said, when we die and we go to the grave, we can't bring anything with us. So naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Well, you don't return to your mother's womb when you die, but God made us from the dust of the earth. So the Jews had a figure of speech where the lowest parts of the earth, the womb, could be referred to in that way. So in Psalm 139, something David wrote, and this is, 1,000 years later, David wrote about the baby developing in the womb, how God designed that process. And he said, "For you, God, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame, that is my bones, my skeleton, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." See, he's talking about how his body is being formed in his mother's womb, right? "You covered me in my mother's womb. You formed my inward parts. And when I was skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, I was made in secret." Well, that's a figure of speech for the womb. And for us, you know, here we are 3,000 years later. It's really peculiar to us, but it's a figure of speech. And once you understand that and you know what it refers to, you say, oh, okay, he's talking about the baby being formed in the womb. "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed," because once the sperm fertilizes the egg, and then that little bit, first the zygote and that little baby begins to develop, the fetus, that little one, and God could see the DNA. He knows how tall this baby will be, if he'll have green eyes, what color hair, what his fingerprints will look like. God could see all that in his DNA. "You saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." That is, that entire period in the womb as the baby is developing. For example, when does the heart start beating? Well, just ask a pro-lifer, right? Early in the first trimester, the heart is beating, the brain waves begin working, the baby's ears, his hearing system begins to function. He could hear his mother's heartbeat. He could hear her voice, her singing to him. And all those days, that 9 months of gestation, God planned all that out before even one of them had passed. God's love and care and provision was so fabulous, so wonderful, that he prepared all those days. In his book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, as the baby is developed in the womb. That's what that's about in Psalm 139. It's all about fetology, the baby. Hey, now stay tuned for Bob Inyart Live.
Service with a wink and a nod.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Well, in China now, it's the year of the monkey. You know how they have different animals for each year? And people in Singapore were urged today to begin acting like monkeys, the Chinese zodiac sign for the coming lunar year. And they were asked to do this for the sake of their country by, now who would say such a thing? Well, in Singapore, the Deputy Prime Minister, Tony Tan, said that if the people of Singapore, the Singaporeans, if they would begin acting like monkeys, it would help economic recovery. And so that's this comes out of the Straits Times newspaper from Singapore. Chinese communities around the world will start the Year of the Monkey this Thursday. And the Chinese say, hey, a monkey is clever, and he's flexible, and he's also a bit selfish and jealous and vain. So be like a monkey, they say. And if you're like a monkey, then, okay, then the economy will get better. Last year was the year of the goat. I wonder how they acted last year. Maybe they ate the trash. It was a bad economy there. All right, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Howard Dean is taking a trouncing in Iowa in their caucuses. And, you know, Fox News Channel has helped to make these Democratic wannabes household names. Do you realize that? Fox News Channel, cable news in general, but especially Fox. Because they report hours every day on this Democratic race. And 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. You didn't have millions of people following the daily nuances a year before the election of the Democratic wannabes. Nobody knew who was running back then. Now, in Fox News Channel really is heading up this effort. These guys are becoming household names. Wesley Clark, you think back in the 80s, people, tens of millions of people would have known who a Wesley Clark was, or Richard Gephardt, or John Edwards, or John Kerry, or Joe Lieberman, Howard Dean. 20 years ago, nobody would have known those people. Just the folks who follow the news because they were addicted. So anyway, that's one of the byproducts of Fox News Channel and PMSNBC and others. But let's go to Indiana. Dwayne, speak your mind. Hello, Dwayne. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
Doing well, sir.
Okay. Bob, I just want to call and tell you that sometimes even when you don't know it, your message is getting out.
Oh, how's that? Tell us.
Well, we went to church in Bedford. I live in Indiana. We went to church in Bedford the other day.
All right. That's your family went?
Yeah.
All right.
Grace Community Church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're studying the plot in Sunday school.
That's exciting. Now, Bedford, we, some years ago we visited there.
Right.
And so they're studying the plot in their Sunday school.
Yeah.
That is so neat. Wow. Praise the Lord. That's exciting, Dwayne.
Yeah, and we went to Mexico last month.
Yeah,
and met a guy there that had—he was Mexican, but he was adopted by an Amish family in Pennsylvania when he was real young.
Yeah,
and he had gotten real sick because they didn't have electricity and he was cold.
Oh, brother!
And so they sent him back to Mexico.
Now, most Amish know how to keep their homes warm.
I know, but he said he had to go back because he got real ill because of the cold.
Yeah, but that's a shit. You know, the Amish, oh boy. Well, go ahead.
Anyway, since then he had studied Buddhism,
Judaism, Catholicism.
Jehovah's Witness, yeah. Mormons. He'd studied everything, and uh-huh. he had come to the conclusion that it just doesn't matter.
Oh, that's
so sad. We talked to him some, but I asked him if he'd watch a video if I'd send it to him.
Yeah.
So I sent him Mount Moriah.
All right.
And I wrote on it, it doesn't matter where you came from, only where you're going.
That's great, Dwayne. And so Mount Moriah is one of our videos. We produce that here. It's the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus
right.
Christ.
Yeah.
And if Jesus Christ rose from the dead 3 days after he was crucified, then that's pretty strong evidence that his message was true. I most people should be able to agree with that. Men don't normally rise from the dead. So if there's overwhelming evidence that Christ rose from the dead, then that is the keystone that holds up the entire story of the Bible. So either he was raised from the dead or he was not. So that's exciting, Dwayne, that you sent him that video. Where does he live? What state?
Cancun.
Oh, he lives in Mexico.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you. And now, all right, and we've got a church in Bedford, Indiana, using the plot in their Sunday school. Now, could you tell us a little bit about the Amish there? They're Amish and Mennonites, right, in Indiana in some good numbers?
Yeah, there are.
Could you tell us a bit about, you know, out here in Colorado, we don't have too many pacifist community-type Christian groups.
Yeah, they're pacifists. I've said that they worry more about their rules than they do about God.
Oh.
They have all the rules. They can't have electricity, so they have gas refrigerators. And
yeah, you know, you can't have an electrical...
Seems like, to me, they spend more of their time getting around the rules than worshiping.
Well, you can't have an electric refrigerator, so they have refrigerators run by gas power generators?
Well, they have gas refrigerators.
A gas?
Propane.
A propane refrigerator.
Yeah.
Now, how in the world?
I'm not sure how that works. I just know they have them.
It must be a built-in generator. Because propane, you burn it, you make heat. I wonder if the propane turns a generator that makes electricity that just stays within the refrigerator.
I'm not sure.
Isn't that funny?
And I know that I read where one had moved into a house that already had a telephone, so the bishop said they could keep it. Hmm. But if they move, then they can't take the phone with them.
Well, they'll be there for life. But you know, nowadays, most homes come with telephones. Well, not really, but...
Yeah.
Hey, Dwayne, thanks for your call.
Okay.
God bless you. We'll be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. All right, we've already covered the Google angle. If you go to Google.com on the web and you type in Get Out of the Matrix and you hit enter, you get thousands of websites, right? And the number one site, the first one that pops up is ours, Bob Inyart Live. And that's cool. We're excited about that. And it's our KGOV website, KGOV.com. In fact, I'll do it right now. Get Out of the Matrix. Enter. You get, well, if you don't put quotes around it, you get 4.9 million websites. If you don't put quotes around it. And KGOV.com is number one, because we've got a video called Get Out of the Matrix that is so much fun. Now, okay, if you do put quotes around it, so that exact phrase, it's about 751 websites. 751, including some interesting websites like, you know, the movie Matrix, matrixexplained.com, and ghostinthemachine.net. But ours, KGOV.com, comes up number one because we have got a video that today we've got friends who were watching the video over the lunch hour. They said, Bob, you got to tell your listeners to get this video and watch it. It's powerful. It's funny. It's entertaining. It's about our public colleges, our government colleges. You got to check it out. I get to debate an entire philosophy class and their professor. You'll enjoy it or your money back. You'll dance on your dining room table. Well, maybe not that, but you'll enjoy it. So order, call us 800-8-NYAR or go to kgov.com and order Get Out of the Matrix. One 800 8 NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Feel free to call in and chat about what is on your mind. In Atlanta, a tragic story. A 6-year-old girl. Now, this is apparently there was some exorcism, and right there, you're dealing with people who are messed up, but. And I say that as somebody who's been a Christian and been studying the Bible for 30 years. And I had read the Bible for some time before I had become a Christian in 1973. But I'd grown up going to a church and hearing about the Bible. And then I got into high school and I became a Christian through Campus Life Youth for Christ, been studying the Bible for 30 years. And just if somebody's doing an exorcism, you know you're dealing with someone who's a flake. They may be well-meaning. They might love God. I mean, they might be cultists. But they might be well-meaning, but whatever their motive, anywhere from being a cultist to being a Christian who's confused, you're dealing with a bit of a flake. And so now this is a tragic story of a 6-year-old girl was apparently, as best the police can put it together, undergoing an exorcism by two adults. A lot of the news is not, a lot of the details are fuzzy right now. This is an Associated Press story. But she was found dead in a motel room with a broken back and other broken bones. And two adults were arrested after police spotted them and two young children, walking in the street naked in the freezing cold. These are just obviously, you know, sick people. And, you know, when we say that's sick, or that's we don't always use the term in the medical sense. Because sometimes if your ideas are so depraved or so ludicrous or ridiculous, we might say that's ill or that's sick. We don't mean a disease. We mean you're so irresponsible and you're so way out on the absurd fringe of what is reasonable. So the adults had been staying in the motel room. And they were charged, so far, they've been charged with cruelty to children, public indecency, and obstruction of police. And they were taken to a psychiatric ward. Couldn't they take them just right directly to the execution chamber? Well, I guess they need a trial first. Police said the girl had been brutalized and suffered a broken back and other broken bones. And they are planning an autopsy. And the investigators said that they were doing some ritual, trying to exorcise a demon, trying to get a demon out of this little 6-year-old girl. It's so sick. It just makes me ill. And, of course, you know, this is an extreme case of something that thankfully is not all that popular with Christians. But sadly, there are some Christians in some churches that are outwardly respectable that you know, not to this extent or not like this, but think they're doing exorcisms. Oh, brother. You know, the Bible covers a long period of history, about 4,000 years. And if you look through that long period of history, during what period of time does the Bible report a rash of possessions, demon possessions, and exorcisms? During what period of time? Well, it was just for about 30 years or so out of 4,000 years in the New Testament during the ministry of Jesus Christ and the apostles. And that was it. You got 4,000 years of Jewish history, and there was not, you know, your weekly exorcism. It wasn't happening. When Jesus Christ came to earth, it was at the height of the spiritual battle. It had reached its climax. And when the apostles were going out to bring the message of the gospel of the Messiah raised from the dead, and then the apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles, that was a critical time in the story of the Bible. And just like in the rest of human history, things change when at that time in the Bible, that was like the pinnacle of the spiritual warfare. And in human history, the rules changed during war. And at that time, God had allowed the spiritual war to spill over, so to speak, into human history and into the physical realm. And so for that small period of time, there were demon possessions and exorcisms, and they were dramatic, and they were clear. It was clear what the problem was, and it was clear when the problem was solved and how the problem was solved. I always remember the story in the book of Acts where some charlatan, a fraud, was trying to exorcise a demon. And he was just like a charlatan. And he used the name of Jesus. And what did he say? In the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus, come out to the demon. And the demon spoke back to him and he said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who in the world are you? And the demon sort of beat up on him, and he ran away. That's a funny story. But yeah, so Christians who are exorcising demons, they're raising the dead, right? They're raising the dead. Are they raising the dead? They're not raising the dead. They're not raising the dead. Christians are told by a bit disreputable evangelist, perhaps, that, well, when we were in the Philippines, the dead were raised. And you know what the Christians in the Philippines are told? They're told, when we were in Colorado, the dead were raised. So the Christians in the Colorado think the Christians in the Philippines have more faith they could raise the dead. And in the Philippines, they think the Christians in Colorado can raise the dead. You see? And that worked a little bit better before email and the internet. Now that facade is starting to peel away. They got to get a little more tricky to pull that off these days. But so when you study the Bible, if you don't study it with a view for an overview for the whole story, if you just zero in on some details and you run with those details, you might be all messed up, because that might have been something God was doing at a certain place at a certain time for a certain reason. And you take it and you think, oh, that's what we got to do. Job's wife said, curse God and die. And here I am. My business failed, so might as well just poke and hope, open the Bible, point to a verse. There it is. What does it say? Curse God and die. Well, that's my life's calling. Right? That, now, that's an extreme example of a very common Christian problem of not understanding the story of the whole Bible, not seeing when God has changed the rules over time. And so we think, well, we need a ministry to exorcise demons because that's what the apostles were doing. We also need a ministry to get people to sell their homes and sell their lands and give all the money to us here, the people who run the church, because that's what the apostles did. And they did, right? The early Christians in the book of Acts, it said, repeatedly it tells us, they sold all their property, their homes, and their farms, their land, their fields. They sold it, and they took the money, and they brought it to the apostles. And so there have been, thankfully, you know, in my lifetime, only a very small number of people who have tried to lead Christians into the belief that they should do such a thing. But there have been some Christian leaders who will tell the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts and say, if you don't give, God may kill you. Isn't that weird? That's just weird. And so I guess you should sell your home and sell your land and send all the money where? Where do they send the money to? Denver Bible Church? P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado. Now, wait a minute. Is that safe? Pops gets the mail. Yeah, I guess that's safe. Send it to Denver Bible Church. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. Why were the early Christians selling their homes and their lands? Why? Why were they doing that? Why were demons being exorcised? Why were the dead being raised? Oh, you know a pastor who raised the dead? Where? What? Somebody in our studio audience. Oh, you know a pastor who raised the dead? Oh, well, they weren't dead that long. How long were they dead? They were in an accident. They weren't dead. They were in an accident. He wasn't even there. Okay, never mind. I'm talking about real raising the dead. Like if somebody's been dead for 4 days and he stinketh, that's raising the dead, right? And so Christians don't raise the dead today, do they? Now, if your Christianity has as a key belief that Christians can raise the dead, then you should be willing to say, wow, this is my belief, but in reality, we can't. So what's incorrect? Where am I going wrong? Are we really raising the dead and we're just keeping it a secret? Or is my belief wrong when I think that Christians should be able to raise the dead? Because one or the other is suspect. Either Christians really are raising the dead, or your belief that Christians will raise the dead is wrong. So which is it? And you know my bias, right? But do you know why? Do you know why it is that Christians cannot raise the dead? Because Jesus said his followers would do greater signs than he did, right? Including raising the dead. So why can't we? Well, of course we can't, and we don't, and we shouldn't. But why? Well, you come on out to Denver Bible Church, you could read the plot, listen to Details Galore Bible Study album. Whatever you like, we'll help you one way or another. Bob Inyard here, chatting with those of you on the web at kgov.com. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the show via the internet. And we still do not have live streaming up and running. And I don't know when that'll happen because we, you know, we're a small operation here. And we can't just take our IT guy and put him on the job. Because we don't have an IT guy. My staff doesn't even know what an IT guy is. Right? Oh, information technology. Okay. My staff is more up than I realized. They're sharp. But we don't have one of those guys. We only have people who know what those guys are. So that's why here at Bob and Yurt Live, we appreciate your support, your patience with us. We're a small concern here. All right, we're a talk radio show. We're on in Denver on KLTT, 670 AM, five nights a week, and on the web at kgov.com. And that's it. And, well, I pastor Denver Bible Church, and you can look up the church's website at denverbiblechurch.org. But we stay on the air with your support. And if you enjoy the show, you enjoy hearing biblical principles interwoven into news stories and how Christians should fight liberals, abortionists, evolutionists, atheists, you know, on and on and on, ists, then we could use your help to stay on the air. And the best form of help, let me tell you the best way, and it's the way I think you'll enjoy it most too, is to subscribe to our monthly Bible study albums or our monthly video or our monthly sermons, right? The videos are $24.95 a month. You get one video a month. The sermons are $24.95 a month. You get four of those. The Bible study album is $34.95 a month. Or you could make a monthly donation, which is really extraordinary. Call us at 800-8-N-YARDS, 800-836-9278, or go online and you could check out our subscriptions or all our materials at our store at kgov.com. We're back. Bob and Yart, 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. So, yeah, the dead are not raised. All right, now, in the Bible, Jesus Christ was able to raise the dead, and the apostles were able to raise the dead. And it was a very rare occurrence, but it happened with the prophets in the Old Testament. But it doesn't happen today. Right? And Christians, a lot of times we're afraid to admit it. We're afraid to say it because we feel like, well, that might threaten my faith. If I state something I know is true, it might threaten my faith. Well, there's a problem with that faith. When your faith contradicts reality, then there's a problem with your faith. So maybe you could say, well, we should be raising the dead, but we don't have enough faith. And if we had enough faith, then we could raise the dead. But isn't there a problem with that? Because Jesus said you only need a little teeny weeny little speck of faith. Faith like a mustard seed to do great signs and wonders and move mountains. Did Jesus say we need a lot of faith? You need a mountain of faith to move a mustard seed. Isn't that what Jesus said? To move a mustard seed, you need a mountain of faith. He didn't say that. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And so maybe, perhaps you don't have a lot of faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Maybe you don't have a lot of faith. But surely someone in your church has a lot of faith. Or someone in your community. Or at least someone in your state, right? Don't you think in your whole state? Don't you know anyone who really trusts God? No? How about in your whole country? Anyone? In the world, maybe? How about in the Philippines? Of course there are people of faith in this country. And so either no one has any faith, in which case you might as well give up, because if no one has any faith, forget you, you're all messed up. If no one does, it's like voting for the imaginary Democrat. if they say, would you vote for Bush or an unnamed Democrat, then the unnamed Democrat gets more votes than when you actually put a name there. And so the unnamed person of faith, whoever it is in the world, must have more faith than I do, must be more mature than me, because he's unnamed. He's the quintessential Christian. So isn't there anyone out there who has faith and they could raise the dead at least once in a while? But they don't. And our faith, our basic faith in God and in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection has a lot of corollaries associated with it. And these are all different doctrines that we believe in various interpretations of Scripture. And if Christianity is true, and the Apostle Paul said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we Christians are fools. We're the most to be pitied because we're totally wrong. And that's why we offer the video, Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, because it's overwhelmingly clear. The evidence is so compelling that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And therefore, Christianity is true. It's true. That's the pinnacle event in human history. It's the climax of the story of the Bible, Christ's resurrection. And so if Christ is raised from the dead, then Christianity is true. So if Christianity is true, well, then Christians have many corollary beliefs, ancillary beliefs, many doctrinal issues, many Bible stories and verses that they interpret. And if you're a Christian and your Christianity is true, you may have all kinds of confusing ideas about what the Bible really says about doctrine, theology. And a lot of that might be goofy or might be wrong. It just might be flat out wrong. So people read in the Bible where it says you can do mightier works and the apostles raise the dead. And they think, and Jesus said, if you have faith like a mountain, you could move a mustard seed. Oh, he didn't say that. Sorry. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And they think, well, the Christians are, look at everywhere I look, Christians are raising the dead. Look at all these. No, it's just, they're not. And so it is a healthy Christian attitude to say Christians are not raising the dead. So what does that mean to my belief? What does it mean to my understanding of the Bible? Does it mean the Bible's wrong? If I think the Bible says Christians will be raising the dead, or does it mean my understanding is wrong and needs to be fine-tuned? Maybe that's it, because I'm convinced that the Bible is right. And so on so many issues, when we find out that our belief system doesn't match up with reality, then what we have to do is challenge our belief system. And I've challenged the Bible enough in my life to become convinced that it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. If God were to write a book, you'd think it'd be a bestseller. And the Bible has sold over 1 billion copies. Well, we actually don't have the exact number. It's been selling since Now, Doug McBurney and I talked about this on the show Friday night. Did you hear? If you've missed any of the shows with Doug, you got to get them on the web at kgov.com. Right? They're so funny, those shows. But we talked about the Gutenberg Bible, the very first book ever printed, the Gutenberg Bible in the 1400s. Now, that's a long time ago, 1450s or so, and 1440s. So that's 550 years ago. Now, the New York Times best-selling list, they've not been compiling sales records for 550 years. So maybe you might have a Guinness Book of World Records claiming to be the best-selling book of all time, but I don't think they could hold a candle to the printings of the Bible. The Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, excerpts, Psalms, Psalms and Proverbs, New Testament and Psalms, and millions of books written about the Bible. Well, millions of copies of books sold about the Bible. Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions. It's got to be billions, no? Billions of books. Could it be billions of books? It's got to be billions of books about the Bible. Hymns about the Bible, hymnals, movies, plays, dramas, devotionals, the life of Jesus Christ, commentaries, biblical atlases, histories, lexicons, Bible study aids. It's just startling that the earth has been filled with the message of God. Filled. And of course, people might reject it and say, I don't buy it. But if you reject it, let me make a suggestion. Make sure you've carefully checked it out. Because if you're an educated person, I would think you would have a working knowledge of the number one bestseller of all time. The number one bestseller of all time. If you're educated. Right? And especially if you're going to reject the message or the teaching of the number one best-selling book of all time, you should have at least a factual basis for rejecting it. Why reject it? In what way is the evidence for Christ's resurrection insufficient? If you meet an unbeliever who says, oh, that story of the Bible, that Jesus story, that's just stupid. You could ask him this question, well, in what way is the evidence for the resurrection insufficient? And the unbeliever will be taken aback a bit by that question. Now, if they hear it and they think about it, they've heard it before, and maybe they'll try to work up a response. But generally, that question sets them back because it challenges them to offer, well, to answer it, they have to say, well, what they know about the evidence for the resurrection and why they think it's insufficient. And they don't typically care enough about Christ or his death and resurrection to even give a rip about what evidence there may be, because really they just don't care. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Bob Inyard here with a live commercial break. I want you to come and want to invite you to come on out to Denver Bible Church this Sunday. Sunday school's at 9:30, church is at 11, and Sunday night Bible study is at 6. Now, we don't have a midweek service at Denver Bible Church. We're a smaller church. You know, 90% of churches in America have under 100 people. Is that true? See that? In at least one way, we're normal. Huh. But we don't have a midweek service, but in a way that's good because people come from all over the Denver area because they specifically want a church like Denver Bible Church that really puts a strong effort into Bible teaching, and a lot of Bible teaching packed into every service. And so, when people drive from Parker, north up in Thornton, Westminster, down to, we're at Hampton and Wadsworth. Actually, we're on the South Frontage Road for Hampton. If you're at Hampton and Wadsworth, get on that Hampton Frontage Road and head east. And about halfway to Sheridan, there'll be a church complex right on the frontage road. It's a huge complex, and unfortunately, we only rent a little corner of it. But Sundays, our signs out there, denverbiblechurch.org, and in the real world, too, on the web and in reality. And you're invited to come on out this Sunday to study the Bible with us. Now, if you live out of town and you can't, well, then you could be involved with a subscription to the monthly sermons or the monthly Bible study album. That's $24.95 for the sermons delivered to your door once a month, or $34.95 for the monthly sermons. And, you know, if you can't make it to Denver Bible Church, but you enjoy what you hear, you want to learn more about our Bible teaching, then sign up. Try it out. Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, I think maybe I'll change the topic here because just something I wanted to tell you about. You may have heard this. My background is in the high-tech field, computers. I worked for Microsoft for a short time, for a few years. A couple years I wrote for PC Week. I worked for the phone company for 3 years, US West. So I moved around and kept looking for a better and better job to support my family. I just love technology. Went to Arizona State University for computer science. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Well, have you heard what scientists are doing to improve our ability to check for explosives in an airport or wherever? It is so unbelievable what we are doing. It will just blow your mind. It will blow your mind. We're making, picture a little tiny chip. A chip about the size of your fingernail, all right? Your pinky fingernail, maybe, and a little bit thicker, probably small, half the size of your fingernail. And on that chip, we are putting sensors for 100 different chemicals. 100 different chemicals for, like, plastic explosives, chemical weapons, anthrax, whatever, 100 different ones. And if that little tiny chip detects something, it sends an electrical signal to inform the security guard, the police, Homeland Security, whatever, depending. It could even be used for medical purposes. And how do we make a little tiny chip like that be able to discern between 100 different chemicals, the size of half of your pinky fingernail? Well, let me tell you how we're doing it. And I say we, I mean we as in Americans. We as in Tennessee's Oak Ridge National Laboratory. This is what we're doing. It's made sort of like a computer chip is made out of printed circuits and silicon. And on the chip, they have 100 tiny little diving boards. That's what they look like, diving boards. And the diving boards are so small that you could line them up and fit them inside one of your hairs. Picture 100 little diving boards all in a row, and they're so tiny they could fit inside one of your hairs. And on each diving board, they coat them with a certain coating. Each one has a different coating. And the different coatings attract to different chemicals. So say gunpowder. Gunpowder would be attracted to the coating on only one of the 100 diving boards. Let's say diving board number 37 is coated with something that attracts gunpowder. And there's a laser beam that's beaming down on all the 100 diving boards. And just by natural movement, they vibrate up and down. And if a few molecules of gunpowder, You ever go in a room and take out a gun and take out a couple of the bullets, and you could smell the gunpowder? Load some of your own ammo. You could smell the gunpowder because the molecules go everywhere in the air. Well, a few molecules of gunpowder land on those 100 diving boards, and number 37 that's coated to attract gunpowder, that diving board now is a little bit heavier. And when it bends, just by its natural vibration, it goes a little deeper. And the laser detects that that diving board was just loaded up with something. And it sends the signal saying there's gunpowder somewhere in this suitcase. Isn't that amazing? And for 100 different substances. Now, that's not a product yet, but that's some of what we're doing. And when God looks down on us doing things like that, he thinks, well, isn't that cute what they're doing? A little second grade science projects. It's so insignificant to what God can do. In one little cell, he's got a million different machines. But still, we're trying, right? And it's fun. It's neat to see. Let's go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Wayne, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, sir.
Just wanted to tell you how much we enjoy your ministry.
Thank you so much.
We've been following you for almost 10 years now.
Wow, Wayne, that blows my mind. Could you say your last name on the air?
Sure, Greer.
Wayne Greer. I know that name. G-R-E-E-R, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were watching you even when you were still on television. So.
Yeah, way back when.
Yeah. Well, you're doing great work there, Bob.
Thank you so much for the encouragement.
Hey, how did the March for Life go? Have you covered that on your show?
Well, you know, we haven't, and we should have. Joe Scott wrote an article on it, and I think the article is available on the web at, Missionaries for the Preborn, or I forget the name of the website. Missionaries to the Unborn, mttu.com. I'm pretty sure that's where her article will be. But, Wayne, let me tell you about it. I'd say there were about 2,000 people there, and it was real encouraging. Star Parker was phenomenal, and she was the keynote speaker, and she warmed the crowd up for Joe Scott's speech. And Joe Scott released 84 balloons for the 84 babies that were saved at Planned Parenthood, saved from Planned Parenthood in the last year. And those balloons were half were blue, half were pink. And
that's
it was just
great.
So beautiful up against the Capitol and a beautiful day in Denver and the blue sky. And as the balloons were going up, 84 of them over the podium there, two of them went right straight up, a blue and a pink one, and they kissed and they kept going up. So maybe those two kids will get married in 20 years. And if any of the balloons got stuck in the Capitol, you know, it's a huge classic architecture building. If any balloon got stuck, we were going to call it a public school enrollment. But none of them got stuck. So it was really beautiful. And some liberals were complaining, you know, when you release balloons.
What do they complain about that?
Well, the balloons will come down. Whatever goes up must come down. And some fish.
You mean they actually know that?
They figured that out. And some fish might eat the balloon.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and so we were chanting, it's not the kids, it's the fish. It's not the kids, it's the fish. It's not the kids, it's the fish.
Right.
But anyway, and then, let's see, Wayne, Channel 4 did a story on it. And there was a handful of counter-protesters there, Peggy Lunan and her sidekicks. And Channel 4 showed them and said, and there was a silent counter-protest. The pro-choice community was out with a silent counter-protest. And that was such a crack-up because Peggy Lunan had a megaphone. And the megaphone worked extremely well. And she did a great job of being very loud during our protest. And what was really funny is it was brand new. And when she was unwrapping it, she accidentally hit the feature that's the siren. And she couldn't shut off the siren, and she couldn't get it unwrapped, and the siren was going, and she was frantically trying to unwrap it and shut off the siren. And that's what our News 4 in Denver called the silent counter-protest. That's just so funny. Anyway, it was a good time of encouragement and a focus on the job to be done and a rededication of efforts and a recommitment to the cause of saving kids from being killed by Planned Parenthood and other abortionists.
We have somewhat of a new pro-life battle going on here in our state. You can get a pro-life license plate. And the pro-choice people are filing suit in court to demand the state either stops providing the license plates or offer a pro-choice one. And their main complaint is that they don't get any of the money from the pro-choice license plates.
Now, does the pro-life license plate, does it say on it, respect life?
No, it just says, I think, pro-life. I think in a picture of a kid on there, you know, like a crayon drawing.
Wow, that's incredible. Because in Colorado, we have one that says respect life. And that was introduced after Columbine, the 13 victims who were murdered by Klebold and Harris. And that respect life, all it says is respect life, and it has the state flower on it, which is the Columbine flower. And the pro-aborts were furious about that, and they didn't want it. And it just says respect life with the Columbine on it.
Well, apparently the specialty license plates cost a little more, and part of the money goes to help sponsor the organization that you're buying the license plate from.
Yeah.
And so the pro-choice people were complaining because the state wasn't giving them any of the money. That's really all they were wanting.
Well, I get they would need their own little license plate that said kill babies or something.
Well, that's what
like
they said. And one woman that was interviewed on the local news said, you know, I don't know of anybody that would really want to buy one of those. But,
they've got, Hillary would buy one.
Yeah, I know that. I hate to disappoint her, but there'd be a lot.
But how often does Hillary come to Oklahoma?
Well, maybe once.
I tell you, as soon as she got out of Little Rock, she was never looking back there.
No,
she hated being there. But she hated being there until it comes time for her presidential campaign.
The show over already?
Yeah. Did you have something else, Wayne? We got a minute.
Well, just quickly, I've also noticed that we like to watch a lot of science shows here, and each and every time we see one of the Discovery Channel things on any kind of complicated pregnancy or birth defect shows, you know?
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood runs commercials there almost nonstop at every commercial break.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's like, you know, don't let this happen to you. We have an answer for it, you know?
Well, yeah, right, exactly. Well, let me tell you, a highlight for our March for Life was David and Kay Bright. They come to Denver Bible Church, and I had never met their grandkids. And their grandson, who's probably 7 years old now, when his mom had an ultrasound with him in the womb, the doctor said, he is deformed. You have to have an abortion. And they said, what? No way. They had to go back a month later for an ultrasound. And the doctor said, no, look, he has a tumor on his neck. He needs to be aborted. And they refused. He is a perfectly healthy, absolutely nothing wrong with him, 7-year-old boy, as cute as could be. I think he's 7. And you know what it was, Wayne?
What?
He was just over 10 pounds. So he's a heavy baby.
A big boy.
Yeah, and sometimes kids have little fat rolls in them or something.
Yeah.
But the doctors look for any reason to say you got to kill the kid. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the best.